Hi, this is Craig Valentine, host of Early to Rise Radio. Have you ever wanted to become wealthier, healthier, wiser, or just have more time to appreciate the finer things in life? On this show, we reveal what high performers are doing every day to be more successful without sacrificing their personal lives. Early to Rise Radio is sponsored by the Perfect Day Formula. Get your free copy of this game-changing success guide at freeperfectdaybook.com. Now let's get started with today's show. Haha, this is going to be a high-energy show. I'm going to give you the six ridiculously effective habits for crazy all-day energy and an amazing morning routine. All right. But before I get into that, did you know that the world's most disciplined man is also the world's laziest man? Did you know that I once made all the classic mistakes that the majority of people struggle with today? Yes, there was a time when I woke up late, rolled over in bed, checked my email, and didn't get going until the rest of the world was way ahead of me. And then I had that feeling of chasing the world's tail, and that contributed to my anxiety attacks. I still remember the day in my tiny little apartment in downtown Toronto. I rolled over, I was checking my BlackBerry. Remember those things? I actually still have one, but I was checking my BlackBerry at the time. And, you know, I scrolled through the emails. Some of them were sales emails. One or two of them were like people that didn't like my unpopular stance about how stupid and boring cardio is. And, you know, they were like, oh, how can you say that? You're a jerk. And the next thing you know, I'm like thinking about responding to that email all day long. And then I decided, you know what? Things have got to change. Hi, this is Craig Valentine, host of Early to Rise Radio, and Bedros Koulian, my friend, calls me the world's most disciplined man. My friend Ed O'Keefe calls me the world's most productive man, and you know what? I'm pretty good at both of those things. But today, what I want to do is share with you my brand new habits. You know, my life changes all the time. We're always in this ebb and flow, and I've got some really, really good stuff for you today that I haven't covered on previous podcasts about how to get more out of your day. And if you haven't already read my first book, one of the most popular time management and productivity books in the world, The Perfect Day Formula, I want you to get that book now at freeperfectdaybook.com. Now, here's the thing, is that I didn't always follow the advice in the book. I didn't always have amazing mornings. Heck, there was sometimes I didn't have a routine of any kind. And that just about killed my hopes and dreams, not in terms of just how my business may have struggled from time to time, but even more importantly is that because of my bad habits, I developed those anxiety attacks. Now, the good news is that I made all of those mistakes so that you don't have to, or so that you can stop making them today and get on track for more success tomorrow. So in this show, I'm going to reveal brand new ways for getting you on track and create that crazy all-day energy that lasts forever so that you can keep up with your kids, or as I am with a brand new puppy dog, and so that you can dominate in business. Even if your competition is like half your age, and it's funny, I just signed up a new coaching client. The kid's 18 years old, making 10 grand a month already online. And man, you know, I got to be bringing my energy because the kid wants to have calls at like, you know, 7, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night. And I'm like, hey, man, I'm like kind of going to bed at that time. But, you know, I got to bring the energy and keep up with these young pups. And you know what? Because of what I'm going to share with you today, I'm going to be able to do it. So Early to Rise Radio, this show here, is brought to you by The Perfect Day Formula. It is the game-changing book I released to the world in 2015. We've sold nearly 50,000 copies of the book. I'm very proud of that. And I want to get more copies out to the world. So if you don't already have a copy, go to freeperfectdaybook.com right now and improve every area of your life. And if you've already seen that one, understand that I got a brand new book out. It's a Wall Street Journal bestseller, and that is called Unstoppable: How to Get Through Hell, Overcome Anxiety, and Dominate in Business and in Life. Now, on to today's show. Habit number one is you need to use what I call the farm boy morning miracle. So let me give you a little breakdown of my morning routine, because people are always asking me, like, what time do you get up? What do? That sort of stuff. Remember, I was on a podcast recently with a young lady from Australia in the business world. She said, what's your morning routine? I'm like, I start working. And she goes, no, you must have a morning routine before that. I'm like, no, that's what I do. I get up and I work, because that's what farm boys did. You know, that's what I grew up on a farm here in Canada where I am today. half a mile from where I grew up, maybe not even half a mile. And that's what we did. We got up. My father went right to work because cows don't take a day off. And I learned that, and I didn't take a day off either, and we got right to work. So today, my morning routine looks like this. I get up at 3:57 a.m. And I used to get up at 4 a.m., but for some reason, I was reading some articles about Mark Wahlberg gets up at 3:45 a.m. and The Rock gets up at 4 a.m. I'm actually not even sure The Rock sleeps. I mean, that guy is up all the time. And so is one of my other favorite guys on social media, this guy. He's from Turkey, the country, and he owns a chain of restaurants around the world. And he's got a steak restaurant. And I can't pronounce his name. It's Nusret or something. I've actually been to his New York City restaurant. He was there when I was there. He gave me a fist bump over by the bar. And then he came by. And you may be seeing this guy on social media. He's very good with the knives. And he cuts up the steak and then he pours salt from his hand off his elbow onto your steak. He's got like 20 million followers on Instagram. He's just an incredibly hilarious person, just the way that he lives his life. He sleeps about 3 hours a day. And this has been nonstop for the 2 years that I've been following him. So I don't know if he's ever going to like have a heart attack and die because he only sleeps 3 hours a day, but it's insane. He works until 2 a.m. and is up at 5 o'clock and then in the gym. Anyways, I get up at 3:57 a.m. because I found the specificity of that was one of the tricks. So like I get up at 3:57 a.m. It's my identity. It's so much better than I get up around 4 or I'm in the 5 a.m. club as long as I'm up before 5. Nah, you know, at 3:57 a.m., the alarm goes off some days I'm up before it. But when the alarm goes off, as it did today, and I'm recovering from my sister's wedding weekend where I wasn't out crazy late or anything, but very, very busy. And I could have used a few more Z's, but I got up. You know, I did have 8 hours of sleep last night, but I got up at 3:57 a.m., turned the alarms off, and basically went to the bathroom, went downstairs, and got right to work because Daisy, my dog, my little puppy dog, was still sleeping because she had a crazy day yesterday with these 10-year-old kids playing with her, dragging her around on the lawn. It was pretty funny. So she slept in a little bit, but I got up. I go to work. By 4:10 in the morning, I am writing. I drink a liter and a half of water in the next 90 minutes while I write for 90 minutes, and that's it. That's it. That's my morning routine. So when somebody says, oh, you must do meditation, you must do your to-do list, and I'm like, no, I don't do that stuff until I've done very important work. So today I wrote a newsletter for my team. I wrote a coaching email to all my clients. I just crushed so much work. Because I have a lot going on and I want to stick to my work time. I want to have a huge impact on the world. And it all came together because of the planning and preparation that I do. Now, I've had my dog about 6 weeks. And when I first got Daisy, I did have to adjust a little bit. So I got up at 3:57 a.m. and she needed to go outside and pee. So I needed to take her outside and I live in this very high-rise condo in downtown Toronto. We had to go down all the way over our 27 floors in the elevator. And I had to like hope she was going to get out before she peed on the in the lobby. And the concierge would look at me and I'd feel bad. But we trained her up so that now she gets outside. For a while, she was just peeing outside the door. And then I had to train her like, no, we got to go around the corner and pee on the grass. So we got her to the point now. But for a while, I was getting up, taking her outside, then coming back in. And she's up. She wants to play. So I'd play with her for a few minutes. Then I would trick her. I would trick her into calming down by giving her a belly rub and putting on a morning guided meditation that I found on YouTube. So I'd listen to a 15-minute meditation while I was sitting down on her mat with her. And I give her a belly rub and she'd fall asleep. And then I would do 10 minutes of the 15-minute meditation. And that's what I did. That's how I calmed myself down. That's how I calmed her down. And then she was sleeping. And as long as she wasn't sleeping on my leg, I could escape. Sometimes she was sleeping on my leg. So I was like, uh-oh, what am I going to do here? And sometimes I even went on my social media to get ahead on that because I was stuck. I couldn't get out of there. But normally I'd go and do my writing. So what I realized is that, it's a lot of fun for the first couple of weeks with a puppy dog. They're so cute. They, you know, they want to bite you all day long because of their little puppy teeth. But it's a challenge. Oh my goodness, it's a challenge. You know, we are getting up in the middle of the night, have to go all the way down 27 floors in the elevator, hopefully pee outside, come back in. It was cold, you know, it was early March. There were some really cold days. There wasn't a lot of grass nearby. And, you know, there's just a lot of concrete and asphalt, and she didn't want to pee on that stuff. So we had to go and find some snow. It was a challenging 2 weeks. But the thing is, it's only 2 weeks, and then they get in this rhythm. But it made me realize I have the greatest respect for single moms, because my life with the puppy dog essentially involved trickery and distraction and an ever watchful eye so that the puppy dog wouldn't get into something. And just think, like, if you're a single mom who's got a job, who's trying to build a business, and you have kids, whether they're babies or whether they're 5, 6 years old, 10 years old, a single mom and single dads too, that is very, very difficult. And I have such great respect for you. And the great thing is that one of my most, you know, laudable testimonials for my book on Amazon, actually, let me go back a bit here. One of the biggest negative reviews I have on Amazon is from a woman with a kid who says, well, this guy doesn't have any kids. You know, you can't take this advice. And then I got a review, a 5-star review from a woman with 3 kids who said, this is the best advice ever. And I love that. I love that because it's all about mindset, right? It's all about mindset. You can look at some advice and go, oh, blah, 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 won't work for me. Great, great. I'm not going to argue with you. If you want to believe that, you believe that. But if you're open to it, if you're open to it, and you also need to be open to people that you just don't like. For example, I've been arguing this, maybe I've even argued this on the podcast, but you know, if you don't like Donald Trump, if you were to ignore everything that he did in order to become president, you would be foolish. You would be very foolish, especially if you're trying to get somebody elected. You got a lot to learn there. You may not say what he says. You may not approve of what he does, but you darn well better learn from what he did so that you can use the things that you are, you know, not offended by for your purpose. And it's the same with my book. Don't discount all the stuff. Just go, how can I apply these great lessons to my life? So back to my morning routine. After I have, now I get up and I do the writing. Then I take Daisy for a walk and we try and get her to play with another dog because nothing tires her out like playing with another dog. It's so cute. She's all passed out right now because she had a really good play with another dog today. And then I come back and do another block of money-making work. Now, here's the thing. A lot of people are very busy. They do a lot of stuff, but the stuff doesn't move their business ahead. They're doing social media, but there's no purpose to the social media. I don't use social media. I use business media. I look at everything that I do on one of these platforms, whether it's LinkedIn, Facebook, or Instagram, or YouTube. Everything has to move people towards buying from me. Okay. I'm putting out great content to build the know, like, and trust factor. I am putting out sales messages with a strong call to action because what's the point of having a whole bunch of followers if they don't know that they can buy great products and services from you? So I'm always doing that. And Mark Ford, my mentor, who I'm going to talk about a bit today, he said that when you're starting out, when your business is under $1 million, 80% of your time needs to be spent on sales. Listen to that again. 80% of your time needs to be spent selling because selling is the lifeline of a business. You can go and set up logos and websites and social media platforms and even create all this content. But if you're not actually selling, your business will go broke. You can set up a restaurant and you can do the best food and organic ingredients and all that stuff. But if you don't have a way to get people into your restaurant, get them to buy your food, you will go bankrupt. And I mean, hey, listen, doesn't matter what town you're in what country of the world, you've all seen these restaurants come and go in like weeks, right? Weeks. There was one on Queen Street in Toronto, which is a major street. And it was a restaurant that, you know, was clearly tapping into the times. You know, it was fresh ingredients, lots of green stuff, smoothies, bowls, all of that. And I thought, this is going to be a winner. It's got so much traffic on this street. How could it go wrong? And I went by there the other day and it's all, you know, cardboarded up and, you know, for lease, all that stuff, because they probably weren't selling. They made the assumption, like I did, the erroneous assumption that, hey, we just got a whole bunch of foot traffic here and we're tapping into the trends. We're going to be A-okay. No, you're not. You're not. You have to actively sell. Now, the great thing is that with these platforms is that you can have your content out there selling for you 24 hours a day. So I need to be up in the morning creating content, getting my stories out there on Instagram, getting all of that so that the global population knows to buy from me and can buy from me. And that is what matters. So that's the Farm Boy Morning Miracle. Before 9 a.m., before 90% of people even start their day, I have already dominated my day. And I've won. I have won the day. Now, here's the thing, is that you do not need to keep my hours, okay? My hours are my hours, and your hours are your hours. And I've told this story before. My friend Joel Marion built a $100 million supplement company working from about 9 p.m. till 4 a.m. because those were his best hours. And I want you to understand that, you know what? That's okay for you to have different hours than me. Please understand that. That's very, very important. And it's not about the hour that you get up. It's about what you do with the hours that you are up. So game changer there for you to understand. How do you know what your best hours are? How do you know if you're a night owl or if you're an early morning person? Or how do you know, like, if you have to go to a job from 9 till 5, how do you know, like, when you can fit in some work on your side hustle? Well, this comes down to habit number two. And habit number two is making you the best science experiment ever. Making you the best science experiment ever. What does that mean? Well, everything that we do has a reaction. So every action has a reaction. Every cause has an effect. And because I came from the science world, I've been able to identify cause and effect a whole lot more than most people. So cause, you know, waking up late, checking my email, effect, anxiety. A lot of people have cause, eating crappy lunch, effect, being tired at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The difference between me and most people in this world is that most people in the world never make the cause and effect, right? They never make the connection between if you change variable A, you get result B, and it happens every time. Most people just like, wow, I don't know why I'm tired in the afternoon. Oh, by the way, I went to Burger King at lunch today. You are tired because of Burger King. You got to understand that. You got to identify cause and effect. So you need to, right now, look at yourself as a science experiment. Right now, you're getting up at 6:30 a.m., you're having this food, you're getting in the car at this time, and you're showing up at work, and what's the effect? You're showing up at work and you're like, oh man, I'm anxious. I got so much stuff to do. Okay. Change one variable in that science experiment. Well, all right, let's change the variable of me getting up 10 minutes earlier. 10 minutes earlier, that's it. You get up 10 minutes earlier. You get a little bit ahead. You have some clarity, some time to think. You're not rushing. You show up at work less anxious. And you see this cause and effect for maybe a week or so. And you're like, okay, this is consistent. That thing is causing me to feel less anxious. What's the next thing I can change in this science experiment? Well, how's about instead of consuming, you know, 300 milligrams of caffeine from Starbucks, you only have maybe an espresso, you know, 80 milligrams of caffeine. Okay. And now you show up at work still focused, but not anxious and jittery. And you do that for a week and the results stay consistent. Ah, okay. What's the next variable we can change in this experiment? Now, here's the thing. Don't change multiple variables at once. Don't go, I'm going to get up at, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to work out first thing in the morning. I'm going to do all this stuff that's different. Now, you can't stick to all those changes. Plus, if you feel one way or another, you can't say it was because of the workout, because you change 5 different things. So whenever you're doing a science experiment on yourself, you can only change one variable at a time. And until you see consistent results from that variable, until you can say, you know what, this my hypothesis is that I feel less jittery because I'm consuming less caffeine, and I'm very, very, you know, strongly opinionated. I'm very, you know, firm that this is the cause and effect. Great. Only then can you move on. Now, you can do another experiment in the afternoon. You can do another experiment in the evening, but just do a bunch of these experiments and you will scientifically experiment your way to your best life. That's how you get there. That's how you get there. So for me, I get up in the morning and I mentioned before, I drink a liter and a half of water and that's it, nothing else. And then after the meditation that I do, because I don't want to have caffeine before I do my meditation. So if I write, then I do the meditation. Then I might have some caffeine. Or I might have a greens drink. Athletic Greens is the brand that I use. It's also called Spring of Life, and we've been promoting it here at Early to Rise for years and years and years through my fitness business. So I don't really eat anything for the first few hours that I'm up. I get up at about 3:57 a.m., and I don't eat till about 7:30. I'm just focused. I dominate my work. I've won the day. I could stop working at 7:30 in the morning, except for, you know, I've got to do some podcasts and content creation. So good life there. Now, when Daisy came around, what happened was I had to have water bottles sitting around all over the house because sometimes I would get stuck. I would get stuck in that little spot with her on my lap. And I'm like, oh, there's no water within arm's length. So I got burned on it once. I was like, it's like a person in the desert there. And so eventually I was like, okay, I'm just going to put water bottles in all these places in the house, filled with water, of course. And in case I get stuck with her on my lap and she falls asleep. And then I never became dehydrated. All right. So that type of stuff was cause and effect. I got dehydrated because of this. So I have to put some water bottles around the house to see if I can solve that problem. Now, I also use cause and effect to determine my best over 40 nutrition. So once I've always eaten well, even when I was in high school, I ate well. But, you know, you always want to tweak it. And one thing I struggled with when I was younger was I was always hungry in the afternoon. And I hated it. I was tired and hungry in the afternoon. So I learned eventually to drink more water. That was very helpful. It was the first thing I learned in high school. I was the only kid in like the 1992 high school class to be consuming extra water over the course of the day. Nobody else even knew about water bottles back then. In fact, I used to, when I was 16 or 17 or 18, you know, I would get those homebrew plastic bottles. My friend's dad used to brew beer, and then I would drink a bunch of those and wash them out because we used to drink when we were younger back then. And then I would like, that was my water bottle, an old homebrew beer bottle. I'm such an idiot. Anyways, you know, that was back before water bottles were cool. It was a few more years. And then that was one of the things I learned through cause and effect. Today, I actually have a very boring diet, but it's perfect for me. It's 3 meals per day. I don't do intermittent fasting. I mean, I don't eat first thing in the morning, but I don't do like 18-hour intermittent fasting. I just eat 3 meals per day, 7:30, 12:30, 5:30. And sometimes I have some tea, peppermint tea in between the meals. And I structure my meals around protein, vegetable, fruits, and nuts, you know, whole natural foods. Very, very little stuff from a bag or a box, except for my weakness, protein bars. You know, there's some tasty, tasty protein bars out there these days. Some of them have sugar and some of them are kind of like candy bars, but I justify it. I'm not perfect. Anyways, I have a minimum required dose of caffeine. And there's actually research from the United States Army that shows if you spread out your caffeine intake, you know, so instead of having 200 milligrams first thing in the morning and then none for the rest of the day, but if you spread it out into like 80-80 and then 80 or just, you know, 100-100, you're better off than if you did it all at once. You just have less jitters, less anxiety, and all day focus. So that's really something you want to focus on there. So here's what breakfast looks like. I usually have some scrambled eggs. I usually have about 4 eggs. Sometimes I will have sunny side up or over easy. Spinach, usually sauteed spinach. I love pineapple, so I have a bowl of pineapple. And I'll probably have some walnuts. I eat a lot of walnuts. And then at lunchtime, I will have a giant green smoothie. So today I just had one that was one of the best ones I've made in a long, long time. So I had half a package of Vega protein powder, and it was the just coconut almond flavor. Oh, it was so good. And that is a vegetarian protein powder. It's, you know, sometimes I'll have a whey protein powder. You know, I'm not vegan or anything, obviously. And so I had that mixed with Athletic Greens, the green powder. Then I had spinach. Then I had half a frozen banana. I had 4 or 5 ice cubes in there. I had about 300 milliliters of water, just over a cup. Then I had a little bit of pineapple and a little bit, some grapes, I think, in there too. So it was very sweet. I have a very strong sweet tooth. And I think that was everything that I had in my green smoothie. Very big though. Probably just about, it was a giant shaker cup when it was done. And then I also have a protein bar. I just cycle through them all because I know there's probably some junk in each one. So I figure if I have a different one at every meal or every time that I have a protein bar, then it can't be that bad for me. So I do go through the Quest bars and the RX bars. And there's a popular one out there now called Nugo, which is a giant chocolate chip cookie. It's got a lot of calories in it. It's like 400 calories. But it is also vegetarian. It's vegan, I think. There's gluten-free oats in it. And then there is pea protein, I believe, is the main protein. Then there's another one that has whey protein in it, I think. And it's called Buff Bake. And it's a cookie as well. Quest Bar has cookies. They're not too bad. But they, you know, one of them has trans fats in it. It's only half a gram of trans fats. But I try and avoid all of those. Once in a while, I have a One Bar. Those are very popular. You find them at 7-Eleven. I try and generally, it's not that I try. It's just that I only like protein bars and these protein cookies that have chocolate in them. So I'm getting chocolate every day. I have my Quest bars that are the chocolate oatmeal and chocolate chip oatmeal. And then the double chocolate chunk are my main Quest bars. I try not to vary from that. I've experimented with them all, of course. And then there's another one called a paleo protein bar that's called a Pegan, which is pea protein and it's vegan. It's paleo vegan, actually, is why it's called Pegan. And it's okay. But those are the ones that I cycle through. So there you have way too much information on protein bars. And I have more walnuts. And then at night, then I have either meat or fish or chicken and potatoes. I like my mashed potatoes. I like my baked potatoes. And then lots of vegetables. So I love going to a steak restaurant and ordering side dishes like the Brussels sprouts and asparagus is sometimes makes my peas stink a little too much. And then some type of spinach as well. So I eat a lot of spinach. And, you know, if you have cauliflower on some of these restaurant menus, that's good too, depending on how they make it. So those are generally the sides that I will get. Obviously, I'm not getting lobster mac and cheese as a side, but sometimes I'll get that salt-loaded baked potato. If you've ever had one of those salt-crusted ones, I like those. And then I just put a little bit of butter on it, or olive oil sometimes. Not bacon and sour cream and cheese, though. So as you can see, very, very simple diet. It is, with the exception of the protein bars, one ingredient foods. And I also do eat a lot of walnuts, as I mentioned. And funny fact is I will go 10 minutes out of my way to buy a specific kind of walnut. So if I know there's a store within walking distance that has the California walnuts, like they're very soft and sweet, I will buy those. But they're very difficult to find up here in Canada. Finally, last thing that I've changed, I started drinking kombucha in the morning. It's a bit of an acquired taste. Originally, I was getting heartburn from it, but now I drink this greens kombucha. And it's definitely an acquired taste. But I was drinking a little too much of the Zevia stuff, which is a horrible diet soda. It's very gassy, it's very foamy. And so I was drinking some of that, and now I'm drinking kombucha instead. So that's my nutrition, my over 40 nutrition. And I got to that through daily scientific experimentation, you know, drinking more water, trying green tea, trying this, trying that. You know, my favorite type of tea is peppermint tea. I tried all these teas. Peppermint tea is just my favorite. I like the taste of it. It takes the edge off my hunger if I have it in the afternoon. I don't really love green tea, but I will have it once in a while. And it's just like, here's how I feel. It traces back to the food, that cause and effect, okay? So you do have to do that scientific experimentation. And when you do it, you will start to have all day morning energy. Now, habit number 3 is using Mark Ford's Morning Miracle. Mark Ford taught me this Morning Miracle when I was 25. I ignored him stupidly, foolishly, for 7 years. And, you know, it's probably because of the, you know, part of the anxiety attacks because I wasn't listening to this advice. But Mark Ford's advice essentially was go to bed at the same time every night, get up at the same time every day. When you do this, you will have amazing energy. I mean, when I did this when I was 32, I was eating healthy. I was exercising all the time. I was past the anxiety attacks. And my life was starting to slow down. So I wasn't going out crazy late on the weekends. And I was able to stick to it pretty good. And when I started sticking to it, oh my gosh, on Monday morning, I had so much energy. Instead of, you know, sleeping in on the weekends and then not being able to fall asleep on Sunday night and then struggling to get out of bed on Monday and then Tuesday, a little better, but still not until Wednesday, sometimes even Thursday morning when I was firing on all cylinders again. You're wasting hours and hours and hours. So I highly, highly recommend that you do that. Here's how you do it. Here's how you do it. You set a reverse alarm an hour before you need to go to bed. So if you want to go to bed at 11, you set a reverse alarm at 10. When that reverse alarm goes off, you shut down all the electronics. Some people call this entering the Amish hour, where you can't have any, you know, stuff that we use today. And then you read a book and you'll fall asleep on time. So just do that. Just do that, okay? That'll help you get to sleep on time. A really great way to use the scientific method on this is the next time you have a very slow social schedule, commit to this for 14 days and you'll be blown away by how well you feel. Give yourself 14, 21 days to do this. And oh my gosh, you will feel amazing. Absolutely. Now, what do you do when you're out late? Like, for example, I was out later, not super late, for my sister's wedding. She's somehow fooled us into celebrating her wedding twice. So we had the wedding on the weekend, and then we're going to have another party in a couple of weeks. That one I'm going to be out very late. So what am I going to do? Well, I am not going to get up at 3:57 a.m. because I'm going to be out till at least 1 o'clock in the morning. I will maybe be even out even later. I will be eating a lot of food that night. I'll probably have a little more champagne than I should, because it's a family wedding, right? Like, unless you have a huge Italian or Greek family and you're having one of these every weekend, there's no reason to say, oh, well, I gotta go to bed at 10 o'clock. Oh, I can't celebrate. No, obviously I'm going to celebrate. This is a once in a lifetime thing. And so I will celebrate. I will make the most of it for my sister, for my family. And hey, I like champagne. I'm not going to lie to you. So what do you do? Well, for me, the way that I look at it is that if I'm out an hour later than my latest bedtime, so if I say my latest bedtime is 10 o'clock, if I'm out till 11, I will sleep an extra 15 minutes for every hour I am out past my latest bedtime. So let's say you normally go to bed at midnight. You know, maybe you're midnight till 7. That's your life. All right. If you're out till 1, then that means you get up at 7:15. Okay? If you're out till 2, it means you get up at 7:30. If you're out till 3, it means you get up at 7:45. Because I don't want you to get too far away from that wake-up time. Going to bed a little bit later is cool. It's okay. But getting up later messes up your sleep habits so bad. So get up regular time and go to bed early the next night. Like, the Sunday after my sister's wedding, her second wedding, I will be in bed 7:30, guaranteed. And I will like a light. I'm going to sleep fantastic. And I'll be back on track Monday morning and ready to go. So that's the secret. That's the secret. Now, another secret of the morning routine is the planning and preparation the night before. And I've talked about this over and over and over again. The three-step process, the brain dump, the priority to-do list, and then the process planning. And also make sure you do your Sunday morning planning for the week ahead. When you do that, you're going to be able to follow Mark Ford's morning miracle. Michael Masterson is Mark Ford. Mark Ford is Michael Masterson, in case you're wondering who the heck are these guys. Mark Ford is his real name. He started Early to Rise in 2000. For some reason, he decided to use a pen name. I would call it a fake name, but pen name is apparently the politically correct way of saying it. He wrote all his books, all his articles under the name Michael Masterson. And then in 2011 decided, I guess I'll just tell everybody my name's Mark Ford. So we had to go and change all the articles on the website. And now I confuse the heck out of people when I tell them to go buy Ready, Fire, Aim by my mentor, Mark Ford. And they say, I can only find a book called Ready, Fire, Aim by Michael Masterson. And I'm like, yeah, that's it. So anyways, Mark Ford, Michael Masterson, it doesn't matter what we call him. All we need to know is that he gives us great advice there and we can have a morning miracle because of it. Habit number four, we need to ruthlessly block our time and destroy our distractions and control our local environment. That's a lot there. Ruthlessly block your time, destroy distractions, and control your local environment. But they're all in the same thing. They're all in the same thing. So what you need to do is if you wake up and you find yourself screwing around on your phone, you need to prevent yourself from getting access to the phone, which means get an old school alarm clock. Have any emergency phone calls go to a different phone than the phone that has your social media on it. Get an old school landline and tell people like, hey, call us on this landline if there's an emergency. And then keep the phone in another room. Keep it across the room. You know, just make sure that you're not checking it in the middle of the night. When you're doing your work habits, you know, your big blocks of deep work or magic time, make sure the phone is not within arm's length, far, far away from you. Don't take it to the gym. You know, just make sure that you are destroying the opportunity to use the distraction. And then go through my perfect week formula. That is podcast episode 74, one of the most popular podcasts I've ever done. It is the next book that I'm writing, The Perfect Week Formula. And when you put that stuff in place, you control your time. You own the day. The great thing about The Perfect Week Formula is you also commit to hard deadlines. You say, hey, listen, I'm done work at 6 o'clock tonight so I can be with my family, which means now you know there's a finish line in your day. And you don't screw around at 2 o'clock because you know that that finish line is coming closer and closer. And you can't say, oh, I'll just work on it after dinner. No, you've committed 6 o'clock. The phone goes away. You're with your family. You're not going back to your phone till the next day. That's a hard deadline. And there has to be consequences too. There must be consequences to every deadline. Whether you pay money to a friend who catches you posting on social media at a certain time, or whether you have to do, you know, if it's just the painful look of your children, as they see you on their phone after you promise them, you should promise them. And when they catch you, you're like, oh man, I just lied to my kids. I tell them not to lie, to make promises and always keep them. And here I am promising them I'm not going to use my phone and I do it. Man, that's a real consequence. Deadlines, consequences, accountability. These are the keys to making sure this stuff comes to fruition. So we have that in place. Habit number five, calm down to speed up. Calm down to speed up. I know the feeling of waking up in the morning, even recently, waking up in the morning going, oh my gosh, I got, you know, if you mastermind in Miami this weekend, I got to, you know, create this article. I got to create this team newsletter before I go. I got to, you know, film my videos for next week for Instagram. We got a product launch going on this week. Oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my. No, Craig, calm down to speed up. Go and do your meditation. Slow your breathing down. Take the dog for a walk without your phone. Let your mind think. Solve the problems. Do the planning and preparation the night before. And these things will all come together. Script your day. And you win. That's what works for me, and that's what will work for you. You need to have that separation between the work and the thinking time. Genius is proper planning and preparation. That's what my friend Dave Kekich said. And if you think about it, think about the teams that win the titles, like Bill Belichick and his Patriots. That guy must spend so much time thinking about the game, way more than he spends on the sidelines coaching in a practice. It's that empire thinking. Same goes for your business, identifying the opportunities to go after and staying out of the busy work. So calm down. Get some thinking outside of your regular workspace. Do your morning meditations or evening meditations. Do your gratitude journaling. Go somewhere with pen and paper and no electronics so that you calm down to speed up. That's a big one. Number six, our last one here is that you need to have some trickery in place. And I love this little story about Jack Canfield. So Jack Canfield works at home. He's a very successful person. Obviously, we all know that. Jack Canfield has the Jack Canfield hat. And so with Jack Canfield, if he's working at home and his family wants to do something, if he's wearing a specific hat, everybody knows that he's in work mode. And you can't ask Jack to take out the garbage when he has the Jack Canfield hat on. Now, I don't know what's actually on the hat, if it says Jack Canfield or it's just a hat. But isn't that great? Hey, everybody, let's agree on something here, that whenever I'm wearing this hat, I am in work mode. I will take it very seriously. I won't wear this hat just to be selfish with my time. I will only wear it when I'm very deep in thought or when I'm working on a priority project. And when I have this hat on, what that means is that, you know, we can't talk about the baseball game. We can't talk about this. We can't talk about chores. We can't talk about, you know, who's picking Mary up at what time, because I'm in work mode with my hat on. And that's great. Then he can take it off and go and solve other people's problems. But that is powerful, because it's his identity also. It's like, when I have this hat on, I need to be focused. John Carlton, the great copywriter, has something similar. He has a like an old sweatsuit. And as soon as he puts on that old sweatsuit and he walks around his desk three times, that signifies to him that, okay, I'm in copywriting mode now. No goofing around. I'm going to do the work. These rituals, routines, these trickeries, you know, some of them sound goofy, but they work so well. Now, for me, headphones go on, classical music goes on, I write. That's it. And a lot of this can come back to the scientific experimentation of like, oh, you know, I'm really in the zone when XYZ and it's ABC time. And when you make the note of that, all of a sudden you become one of the world's most productive people, because even though you only work the same number of hours, or maybe even work less like I do, you get more done because you have managed your energy, as they say in the book, The Power of Full Engagement. That's a great book. I first read that. Jim Lohr and Tony Schwartz wrote that back in like 2000. I read that in 2001 when I was going through a transition in my life. And it was huge to me. And I see how my magic time is a management of energy. Magic time is a time of day when you are three times more productive, creative, and energetic. And I ruthlessly protect my magic time, even from my puppy, as much as I can, so that I work and write first thing in the morning. And in those 90 minutes, I get 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours of work done. And I've already won the day. And I want you to find the same thing and use any of these trickery rituals that you need to, so that you get the most done and you have a morning miracle, crazy energy all day long from the nutrition tips here. This is going to be a game changer for you. So let me know if I missed anything. Let me know if you have any questions about these morning routine ideas. Mark Ford's miracle morning, my farm boy miracle morning, calming down to speed up, eliminating distractions, the way that I eat, the way that you eat, the cause and effect, and identifying the scientific method to showing you what you should be doing. I'm very grateful that I found working out when I was 16, because that led me to tracking and testing this exercise and this exercise and this program and this program and this nutrition approach, and learning the number of calories in every food, so that now to this day, I could eyeball what it's on my plate and tell you exactly how many calories that is, plus how many calories I consume over the course of the day. I'll never have to worry about my weight for the rest of my life. It's all because of the scientific method, studying, identifying, figuring out what works for you. And when you do that, my friend, you will have all day freaking energy, crazy, crazy, crazy energy. You'll dominate. You'll get so much done. Your business will grow. Your family time will grow. Your presence will improve. And you'll have a life well lived, which is what Mark Ford set out to help us do when he started Early to Rise in 2000. So there you go, my friend. If this is all new to you, here's where I want you to start. FreePerfectDayBook.com. Go there, grab my first book, get through that, then go to my next book, Unstoppable, which gives you that 90-day plan, which is really, really key. So that's at BeUnstoppableBook.com. And if you like today's show, if this was helpful for you, if you have more energy already, please go to iTunes and search out the Early to Rise Radio podcast and give us a 5-star review. Absolutely love it. I'd be so grateful for it. Send us a screenshot and then let me know if you have any questions or suggestions about the show at Real Craig Ballantyne on Instagram, or email me at support@earlytorise. Okay. Really, really appreciate you. And if you want to go to the next level, like my clients, Bedros, and all the other people that I've helped, you know, go from 7 figures to 8 figures, and even from 6 figures to 7 figures, if you need the custom coaching from me, because the podcasts are a good start, but you need like the next level, go to perfectlifeworkshop.com right now. There's an application page. There's a video, there's an application, and you'll learn more about the program and how it can help you if you're a high performer and you want to go to the next level. If you're just getting started with your business, just start with those books, freeperfectdaybook.com and beunstoppablebook.com. And then when you're ready to go to the next level, visit perfectlifeworkshop.com. All right, we got a very fun podcast coming next week. So until then, my friend, here's to your new crazy energy.